Are you ready to discover how to maximize your marriage, family, and life while growing your business? Well, welcome to Love Plus Money, the show where we show you how to succeed in business while thriving in family, health, and legacy. Welcome everybody. It is Andrew Devlin. I said last week, well, Janelle might have said last week, that we were going to talk about relationships, but we have the amazing Kylan Cottonsteady in town. So I thought I'd push back the relationship stuff and dive into this. So Kylan comes from Colorado in a town of Gypsum, where they make gypsum. No, it's a great town, near Vail, Colorado, for those that know. So it's high mountains, 7,000 feet.
Yeah, about.
Something like that. So, but absolutely beautiful place. And Kylan is a school teacher there who just got promoted to assistant principal.
Yep.
Is that right? I wanted to bring Kylan on today because Kylan, in my opinion, is one of the hardest workers and the toughest, one of the toughest mentally tough people that I've met. He's also my brother-in-law, which is pretty cool. So we get to be family. We ski together. We've mountain bike together. We've gone to Panama together. We lift weights. We've lifted weights together.
Yeah.
So both feeling a little sore from yesterday's. But Cannon's got quite the interesting background, and he's got one of the biggest hearts as well for people. And so even though he looks tough and grumpy sometimes, I might have that face also. But he's got, do you want to, how many kids you got?
Have three kids right now. 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old son, a almost 2-year-old son. And then number 4 is due this next month.
Yeah.
In June, actually.
4 kids, full-time job.
Yeah.
Studied for a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
Completed his master's in a year.
Yep.
Had anybody ever done that before?
No, not that I know of. My instructors said that they did not think it was possible.
So full-time job, 4 kids. You also have a small farm with horses and chickens and goats. And what time do you wake up?
Oh, depends on the day, but a lot of days I help train other people at different gyms. And so usually I'm up around 4:30 in the morning.
So 4:30, goes and teaches exercise classes, goes and works a full-time job as a teacher, studies for a master's, got 4 kids, and he's got a mental wellness microbiome business and a successful two-row business.
Yeah.
And he rents out some of his barns for horses. And so he's very entrepreneurial. He's one of the hardest workers I know. But your ability to pour into students is phenomenal. And so I'd like to talk a little bit, like, your background is in a lot of sports, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So wrestling, competitive wrestler.
Yep.
Competitive football player.
Yes.
And do you believe that anything in your childhood helped make you into this, what, again, my opinion, but an incredibly mentally and physically strong man?
Yeah, and thank you for the introduction. I think as I look back at aspects of my childhood, I was very blessed. And I was blessed to have two parents that were together all of my life and poured into me and cared for me and, you know, really just showed me the love and support that I needed. And so I didn't have these struggles growing up to turn me into someone who would be mentally strong or mentally tough. And as life went on, life had different plans.
Yeah.
Life typically, regardless of how you grow up and what you've been given in life, you are going to experience adversity at some point or another. My adversity as a youth was through sports. And so that was through wrestling, through football, you know, battling back from injuries and just facing the adversity and challenges of going through moments of loss where you've worked super hard and just facing those challenges head on. And so those moments in sport, as small as they look now in life, were aspects of my life that prepared me for a future that brought on a lot more adversity.
Yeah, you've had your fair share as an adult, and what, like, you know, I know you had a family member that had a severe accident mm-hmm. when you were young as well, and this gentleman has overcome a lot as well. And do you think that was any part of you learning how to be, like, mentally tough?
Yeah, you know, I was able to learn from a lot of the stories that my parents told me. So my dad was, he suffered a motorcycle wreck and was a quadriplegic for some time, had to learn how to walk, talk, feed himself again. Doctors thought that he would never be able to do much in life, and that he would be wheelchair bound. And, you know, he kind of refused to believe that,
yeah.
Refused to believe that diagnosis. And so I was raised in that mindset of not just giving in to the, what other people think and what other people say about us, because we are somewhat in control of how we react to those situations.
Yeah. And it's been amazing because your dad has built his own house.
Yeah.
Himself. Yeah. Obviously mm-hmm. some help, but he's a master craftsman when it comes to wood mm-hmm. and got, just blows my mind what that guy can make. And he travels. He was a teacher as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your mother was a teacher.
Yeah.
In the same school?
No, my mom was at the elementary school level. Okay. My dad was at the middle school level. And, you know, I think it was a bit of the family business because yep. then I ended up teaching at the high school.
Yeah. So, again, it's like this family's left such a legacy in gypsum.
Yeah.
Your dad also, he coached as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep. So he's a guy with some physical challenges that he's overcome really well. And he's teaching a lot of sports because of his background as well. So it's like, I feel like, you know, you had that background as well. You obviously became the athlete. And then what led you to, because you pour into kids at a higher level than I think most others. Like, you are passionate about not just teaching them stuff, but like you run strength and conditioning classes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're just fresh off speaking at a strength and conditioning seminar in Denver.
Yeah. So, I teach different strength and conditioning courses for the high school, along with training at a private gym in the local rec center. So my passion and background is in exercise science and being able to help people be their strongest physically. But what I have discovered through life and my own personal challenges facing adversity is that physical strength and conditioning can only take you so far. And that a lot of times we neglect to actually focus on the mental aspect and the mental strength and conditioning that is going to exceed those moments in our life that, you know, we're struggling the most. And so just recently, like you said, I spoke at the National High School Strength and Conditioning Conference in Denver. So this was the Colorado's regional conference. And I was able to speak to a lot of other strength and conditioning teachers and private gym owners about mental strength and conditioning and how they are addressing that with their clients and their students.
Awesome. And then how do you bring that mental conditioning into your strength and conditioning classes?
Yeah. You know, I start off with being vulnerable. And so I think being vulnerable allows for these genuine conversations and relationships to develop, because I think community and connection are a huge aspect to having mental strength, having other people to sharpen and hone your skills. Just like you said yesterday, we got to go to the gym and work out, and my workouts are always better when I'm surrounded by somebody else who's pushing me, who's challenging me to be a better person. And so focusing on that community connection, finding a good partner to push you through those struggles. But like I said, that vulnerability and sharing the struggles that I've dealt with in life has really helped my students to see what I've gone through and how I've been able to overcome that. And so that way they can see that when they're facing challenging moments, they too can overcome.
Awesome. And I know you do like a book study. Is that right?
Yeah. So once a week we actually sit down and I read to the students. We talk about just different character development traits and things that are not going to go away after they graduate high school. They're still going to need to be able to understand that they should not compare themselves to others, because in life, when we are doing that, you know, that really steals our own joy when we're comparing ourselves to the Instagram versions of other people that we see.
Yeah, 100%. So what I'm hearing is, if we could boil this down, is have the right people around you, the right people that inspire you, push you, support you, encourage you. Because would you agree that most men, especially men, are trying to go alone?
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of men isolate themselves, and some of it, I think, is a point of pride.
Yep.
Pride often gets in the way of men reaching out to other men and asking for help, asking for support. We typically try to carry the burden on our own shoulders and not share that burden with anyone else, and it really is a struggle. And so a lot of times men do not talk about the mental stresses, anxieties, depressions that they're facing because they feel like they need to be the strong one in those relationships.
Yeah. I remember, you guys know that we fostered and then adopted. And I remember I was in the laundry room just sobbing and I ran out of strength. Mm. And it was the first time in my life that I felt like I couldn't deliver anymore. And that's where the praying came. And I was just like, God, you got to step in, because I am not the man, the husband, the dad that I need to be for these kids. And it was so refreshing to actually admit it. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, you guys may know, but I've been struggling with vertigo off and on for about 5 years. And it's that humbling, pinned to the floor, can't move. And I'm completely reliant on other people, which... last episode happened probably like 3 weeks ago, and I kept on apologizing to my kids. I was like, I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have to see your dad like this. I'm sorry. And then I was like, wait there, this is great that my kids get to support me, that get to encourage me. So you've had, what would you say your most challenging season of your life has been?
My six-year-old, my son who just turned six, Jace, obviously the biggest challenge in our life has been when my wife was pregnant, she was 20 weeks along with him. We went in for a full body ultrasound, that is pretty typical at that time. And, I remember the doctors kind of being really quiet in the room as they were scanning it. And, you know, quiet is not always really relieving. And so we were like, what's going on? We later found out that day that my son was going to be born with half of a heart. And so that definitely hit us hard. Whenever, you know, you think you're in control of a lot of situations and God has other plans and shows you that, hey, you're not in control. And so going through the next 20 weeks of her pregnancy were really, you know, anxiety building and stressful. And then following his birth, he at 5 days old had to have an open heart surgery, another open heart surgery at 7 months old, and then a third open heart surgery at 3 years old. And we're very fortunate and blessed now to have him running around and, you know, swimming in the pool and playing t-ball and all these different activities. And really, you know, when you look at him from the outside, you don't see him as any different. There are still some health struggles. He just spent a week and a half on oxygen this last week. And so there's definitely moments where we are still struggling with dealing with that. But in those times of weakness and that feeling of being out of control, definitely had to turn to, you know, my personal Lord and Savior and rely on his strength, to get me through those moments. And, you know, I think that's a big message for a lot of people out there. When we're talking about mental strength and conditioning, is understanding that we can only do so much. It takes a different sort of reliance, to actually be strong. And it makes me think back to a moment where I had a student who was struggling with something, and they were really wanting to handle it all on their own. And I said, well, you must be a lot stronger than me. And they kind of looked at me confused, because here I am, their strength and conditioning teacher. And they saw me as this big, strong man. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I could not handle that. I'm not strong enough to handle that on my own. And they were still confused. And I was like, that's why I need a savior to help me and to lean on that and be able to rely on him for his strength.
No, that's awesome. So I think, you know, the strong faith element, and you've, as long as I've known you, you've always been in shape. You've always made fitness a priority. How does that translate over into your marriage, do you think? Because I can only imagine it. You know, you've got a son that's going to need 3 open heart surgeries. I imagine your wife needs more support then, but you're also needing more support. But then you've got one other kid at the time. And even when the 3rd heart surgery, you had 3 kids. So any tips for people out there who are listening and just going, that seems like a lot going on. Yeah. But you still stayed in shape. You still worked. You still showed up for the students. How do you show up the way that you show up, do you think? Like, is it like something you mentally check in with? Like, I need to show up for my wife. I need to show up for my kids. Or is it just like, it's just standard?
Yeah, you know, I think as a father figure in my household, I need to show up and be that present figure in their life. And just making sure that they see my consistency and they see me show up so often that it's boring and that it is just an expectation. It's not a surprise when I am there in those moments and at t-ball games and at dance recitals. That should not be a surprise. That should be a consistent fact in their life. And that goes to my own personal fitness as well. If I'm planning on having an influence over the physical health of my family, I need to be walking the walk as well and living that out on a daily basis.
No, that's great. So how do you do that? Like, because would you agree that if you're constantly showing up at the way that you do show up, it's probably taken for granted? But by your kids, at least, because your kids are young.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you overcome that? Because a lot of times guys need praise. They need somebody saying, like, oh, thank you so much for doing this. And as soon as it becomes normal, it's often not talked about. So any tips?
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is I don't need the praise. I get the joy of just seeing the look on their face when they're doing something that they love.
Yeah.
And kids' activities are not cheap. Paying for dance classes and gymnastics and all that stuff, you know, it takes work. And that's part of my motivation to get up at 4:30 and go work with other people and train other people in their own fitness. And to be honest, I try to do most of my work when my kids are asleep because I want to be present for them in those moments, in those small amount of time that really we have them with us.
So how often do you think about the future, longevity, legacy? Because the kids are little, so like, are you tuned into who they will become, their future? Because you obviously get to see students every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seeing high school students really puts it into, gives me a reality check. Because so often I see students that are struggling in those teenage years because of the absence of maybe a father figure or inconsistency at home. And so, you know, I really find that as my job is to provide that consistency and provide that support and love, but also the accountability, right? It's not always just, hey, good job, you did this. There's some hard moments too. And my kids see me as not just loving and supportive, but hopefully they also you know, see me as somebody who's going to hold them accountable to doing the right thing. And whether that's just doing the chores around our place, yeah, or, you know, not being apathetic in what they're doing.
Awesome. And so with all the outpouring, how do you fill back up?
Oh, right now, this last year has not been super filling because, like you said, doing grad school on top of working multiple jobs, you know, it's really hard to fill back up. But partly, you know, I think exercising is my mode of filling back up. And even though that can be exhausting physically, it helps rejuvenate me mentally. And I think a lot of times people overcomplicate what they need to do to maintain physical fitness or get into a routine. And a lot of times that paralyzes people from getting into the gym, or, you know, they think they don't have enough time to do it. And it's like, so then they just do nothing. You know, instead of, hey, you have a floor, do some pushups. Hey, you have a wall, do a wall.
Which reminds me, how many pushups did you do last year?
I did 100,000 pushups in 1 year. I had originally set the goal of 65,000 in a year, as a part of a community of people, a community of men that were, participating in a push-up challenge, and having that community and having a few friends alongside me doing that challenge, was really helpful. But then, you know, the 65,000 didn't sound quite as cool as 100,000.
And I watched him do it, and it's just 25 push-ups. 30 push-ups.
Yeah.
And have a break, you know, before lunch.
Yeah, I would do 25 to 50 push-ups at a time, and just split that up throughout the day. Yeah, you know,
with school, with jobs, with kids, and because he just wanted a bit more. So if you're going to give like two tips to people that could help them become even more mentally strong, what would you say, the top two things?
I think it would be surround yourself with others that are going to challenge you. Surround yourselves with people that are going to support you, but also hold you accountable and hold you to a higher standard. And then number two, I think it would be having a strong why, having a reason to why you're doing stuff. So why do I get up at 4:30 in the morning? That's because that might be my only time I have to myself to fill myself up and exercise, so that I can be the best husband to my wife and the best father to my kids. It's finding those moments where, hey, I need this so that I can show up for you, and I need to be able to do those things. And so I think, you know, having that strong why, is really important to fulfilling that consistency.
Yeah. And I love, you've just bust your butt for a year, but it's going to take your whole family to that next level. And so I think that's it's the discipline of maybe self-denial for a year to have even more freedom and even more impact moving forward.
Yeah. You know, I think of just running the race to win the prize, and how, you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses where everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. But it's having that self-discipline, and it's having the ability to shut off our own internal desires for a moment to be able to focus on the long-term future goals. Because in the moment, in the stress bubble of life, you know, it seems like you can't do anything more. But when you look long-term and you start to envision the future that you're trying to build for yourself and for your family, it makes those short-term decisions a lot easier.
Awesome. It's the same as saying no to the donut and yes to the tuna salad, you know, in essence. And so I want you guys to really take note of this. It's like short-term pain for long-term gain, you know. Deciding who you're going to be and what standards you're going to set. And start somewhere. And that might be 25 push-ups. It might be something. But, you know, it's one of those things that it changes families. Being mentally tough is going to change your family, and your seasonal pouring back in is going to come soon, you know, once the baby's gone. So thanks for joining us today, guys. And we'd love you to follow us over on our Instagram at Devlin Worldwide. And we'd love to hear from you. If there's subjects you'd love to learn about, if there's something you'd like us to discuss, if you want Kylan back, let us know. He's got, we could talk a lot about this gives you an insight, but decide who you're going to be this week. Decide what standards you're going to set and go and live them. All right, guys, thanks for being on today. We'll speak to you next time. Bye.
Thanks for riding shotgun with us on another episode of Love Plus Money. We trust you're leaving with meaningful insights. If today's episode fueled your hunger for success and fulfillment in all areas of life, don't hold back. Hit that subscribe button, give us your rating, and lay down your thoughts in a review. Your feedback powers our mission to equip high achievers like you with the tools to conquer every challenge. Stay dialed in with us on social at Devlin Worldwide. And guys, keep charging ahead, nurturing your relationships, and never compromising on your most important dedications. Until next time, this is Andrew and Janelle Devlin signing off, reminding you that love plus money can equal the freedom to live your best, most purpose-filled life.
This has been a production from a podcast studio.